I'd ask you to please turn with me to the first book of Samuel, and chapter 17. We're looking at page 330. And we're going to read verse 45. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And the subject before us this evening is slaying Goliath by faith and then works. Now, the account of the record of David's victory over Goliath serves to teach many spiritual lessons. And this evening I intend to consider this passage in the manner in which faith overcomes the greatest enemies. The principles of faith taught here regarding overcoming Goliath apply to all issues that have to be overcome as we walk by faith. There is the Goliath of temptation. There is the Goliath of fear, as we were reminded of this morning. There is the Goliath of unbelief and pride and worldliness. There is the Goliath of care and anxiety and trial, the old nature, which rises up within us and troubles us. And there's the Goliath of rejection. There's the Goliath of failure. And there's also the Goliath of disappointment. There's the Goliath of sickness and loneliness and depression. But first we must set the account in its proper context and note how David overcame Goliath by faith and then works. That's the heart of the message. And whatever that Goliath is in your life, you'll see this evening how it is that if we follow the example of David, we can overcome that Goliath in our life this evening. But it's always very important, friends, to set God's word in its context. If we don't set it in its context, often we can spring into a verse and we can perhaps not understand fully the chief areas of the problem, because actually the chief problem and evil in this account was much greater than Goliath. The problem was much greater than the giant. The biggest problem here was that Goliath and the Philistine were arrogantly defying the army of the living God. And that was the fundamental evil. The fundamental problem was not the size of the giant. The fundamental problem was not the aggression of the giant. The fundamental problem was not the way in which the giant was throwing out threats. The problem, chiefly, was he was defying the living God. The fact that Goliath was a mighty giant was not the main problem. It's what he represented, what he said. If we look, for example, at verse 10 of this chapter, "And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.'" Verse 25. "So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. He will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.' And David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, David got right down to the heart of the matter. Who is this Philistine? It's not his size. This man is defying the living God. And then in verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And this was the final words that David said to the Philistine. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And so, friends, we have to understand the context. What is the greatest evil? It's easy for us to go straight to Goliath and his size and the size of the battle. But actually, there is a bigger battle here, even than the size of Goliath. And that's where this can be applied spiritually to our lives. The issue in our life is this Goliath? Is this situation that we have in our life actually causing us to defy the living God? Secondly, the Israelites are immobilized, they're dreadfully afraid, but they did not call upon the name of the Lord. This is the second problem. They simply fled in their fear. And they shook with fear about Goliath and his threats. Actually, it was not God's honor that was their problem. It was their personal safety that concerned them. They were not concerned about the fact that he was really defying God. The problem for the children of Israel was that they were about to get beaten because Goliath, no one could fight Goliath. Or the other question that was going around the camp was, if someone could kill this Goliath, he's going to have a princess and his family are no longer going to have to pay taxes. But the third important context to understand in this account is that there was one young man who was different. One young man who spoke wisely, who acted by faith, who was despised and discouraged for doing so. And that is evil. That is another great big problem here. Here we have a young man, a believer, who's being discouraged by people that are despising him. One young man who was speaking the truth, and he was disdained. So when considering this account, do not go straight to Goliath, the size of Goliath, but consider what the greatest problem is here. And then it will start to speak to your soul. So having outlined the context and the most serious issues here, I want us to consider how this giant is to be slain. Well, primarily here, we learn the lesson about faith. What is faith? And here are some of the remarkable characteristics of faith shown in the life of David. The first thing I would suggest to you is that faith is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. Faith is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. When David came into the camp, the men about him were greatly dismayed. They were greatly afraid. They only had eyes on Goliath. They only had ears for the threats. He was an impossible hurdle. The man was a monster. He was intent on killing whoever challenged him. That's what Goliath did. That's what gave him motivation in life. They were looking at a man 3 meters in height. They were hearing a man with a deep, loud, resounding voice that was coming across the valley. He didn't need any loudspeaker. His voice was like reverberated round the valley. And they looked at his armour. His covering armour alone weighed 57 kilos. Now, if you've carried, without having a trolley, two heavy cases, perhaps 26, 27 kilos each, you will know what I mean. You know, you lift it on to the thing for going on the flight, and I've seen some of these cases that people have when they go into countries, and wow, they have to drag it on, and they strap this big thing around saying, this one's heavy, beware, heavy. Well, this man's armour, just his armour, was the weight of two heavy cases. And his spear alone weighed 7 kilos. That's like having 7 bags of sugar in your hand and an outstretched arm. If you pick up a packet of sugar and you think, well, I can put that out in my hand and I can hold it with my arm outstretched. But if you try putting seven, see how heavy that is. And that's what the equivalent of his spear. So he was an incredible giant. And as the commentator Ralph Davies says, the Israelites were impressed and depressed at the same time. And it's possible to be impressed and depressed at the same time. And that's what happened in the camp. Into this scene of confusion then, despair, doubts and fears, comes a young man who had true faith in God. And want us to notice, though, the nature of this young man's faith. His immediate and first concern was for the honour of the Lord. And so we read verse 26 again. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For whom is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And then in our text, verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this is the great key to true and living faith. It's a faith which is very concerned, primarily for the honour of the Lord. David introduces into the camp a totally different attitude of mind. He was one that didn't look across the valley. He looked up. And that's what faith does. Unbelief looks across the valley and sees the enemy that they've got to face and weighs it up, and unbelief can take over. But faith looks up to the living God and pleads with God for his name's sake, deliver us. For his honour, here is at stake. And this was Elijah's problem. You remember when Elijah went to Mount Horeb, and he had an encounter with the living God. What are you doing here, Elijah? I'm so upset because the Israelites have defied the living God, and I, a low man, left. But when a person witnesses to a fearful, doubting people, the first reaction is generally disbelief and discouragement. And that's what happened with David. He had the right message, but he was given his message to a people that were frightened and fearful. And his brother Eliab, his anger was aroused against David. He did all he could to put him in his place. Go back home, David. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. Go back and look after those few sheep in the wilderness. See how sarcastic he was, how disdaining he was. This is too big for you, David. You're just a young boy. He put him in his place, he thought he did, and made him feel a nobody in the camp. But then, later when David went to Saul, Saul's reaction was the same. You are not able to go. David, what are you? You are not able to go and fight against this Philistine, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And these facts remind us that Satan will ensure discouragement to your faith, a faith that honors the Lord. Goliath despised and disdained David. He was offended by his youth and apparent weakness and littleness. He cursed David by his gods, thinking David came to him with sticks like a dog to chase away. But we know that pride comes before fall. The stone that killed Goliath hit him at around 130 miles an hour. Now, I don't know whether there's those of you here who play cricket, but you know what it's like facing a fast bowler. Probably the fastest bowler I've faced would do about 70 miles an hour. But, you know, the test match players, they face bowlers that bowl almost 100 miles an hour. They've got helmets on, admittedly. But just imagine a stone come at you at 130 miles an hour. But Goliath was a proud man. He may have seen the stone coming in a split second, but he didn't duck. He didn't shy away. His pride wouldn't let him. He was Goliath. And the stone came and it was slung by a country boy. It was only a smooth stone. What is a stone against me? Goliath. He despised such a method. He despised such a weapon. And so today, people despise the word of God. And yet do not realize that the word of God that they despise, if we take one promise from the word of God, and by faith we use that against the devil, he will flee from us. This is what Jesus did in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil departed. The world despises the word of God. The world will despise you if you have a promise that means so much to you. The world will despise you. Oof, the text, the promise. But do you not know that that promise by faith can slay a Goliath in your life? Faith resists opposition. Notice here how David came through the opposition and kept completely on message. God's honor was at stake. Also, though, I want us to notice here in the opposition the timing of the verbal assaults of the enemy and Goliath. If you turn with me to verse 16 of this account, you will see something very significant. Sometimes we pass over this verse, we don't really stop at it, but it says here, "And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening." Now, 40 days is often used in Scripture. The Lord Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness being attacked by the devil. And as I said before, Jesus used the word of God to overcome the devil. And we can take the promises of God's word and overcome the devil, when, especially in those the Goliath of temptation. We take the word of God and we go to the brook of the word of God, and we take a promised stone, a truth stone, and we hurl it at the devil. And we tell the devil, that Goliath, it is written. You see, faith resists opposition. A Christian is a person of courage. and knows how to use the word of God, becomes skilled in the use of the word of God, just like David became skilled to use his sling and his stone. If we are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we put our trust in him and we take the word of God seriously, we begin to use it like David used his sling and stone, and it becomes effective. And here was a forerunner of the Messiah, David, who dealt with the enemy in the same way as Jesus dealt with the enemy in the wilderness, when he'd been assaulted 40 days and 40 nights. And here is the Philistine, 40 days, threatening. And David comes along, and he trusts in God's word, and he trusts in God's way. And even when Goliath threatened to give his flesh to the birds and the beasts, David resisted in faith. But then faith encourages. The first words of David to Saul were words of encouragement. Look, you've got a problem. We've got an army. We've got a great giant to face, and the army of the Philistines. But David, this young man, says to Saul, this is David, the young man, talking to Saul the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. This was not bravado. This was not youthful confidence and arrogance. It was an encouraging faith in God. It was a faith that encouraged itself in the Lord. And then a faith not only encourages itself in the Lord and encourages others to be steadfast and to be willing to fight. Faith remembers God's dealings in the past. Saul said, you can't do this, David. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So what David did by faith, he brought the Lord into the situation. He remembered God's dealings in the past. This was the fundamental issue with David. His experience in the past governed his attitude in the present. And so it is with believers. God is faithful. God is gracious. God is almighty. God is the ultimate deliverer. My Lord will deliver me. Remembering the goodness of God is vital for true and living faith. Moses said, you shall remember all the way your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And as we look back, as the Lord's people, we see his love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Faith based on the faithful character of God and his promises and his dealings says, he will deliver me. And then faith goes forward conscious of total dependence upon the Lord. Saul clothed David with his own armor. Surely this was the best protection for the young man. But David could not walk easily in this armor. He'd not proved the armor. It hindered rather than helped him. So it was, we read, that David went forth with his staff and sling and chose for himself 5 small stones. He went to war, though, with his eyes open. He knew the power of Goliath. He knew his personal weakness. But here is the key to living faith, friends. A faith that faces the enemy, aware of its power, and understanding it's our weakness, and so calls on the name of the Lord. That's faith. Faith is not something that is not is mindless. Faith understands the frailty of the human nature. Faith understands the awesomeness of the enemy of souls, Satan. Faith has its eyes open. But faith calls, turns to God. Faith calls on the name of the living God. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Everything that you think is powerful, Goliath. But I simply come to you in all my weakness, in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So here is the key to living faith that faces the enemy, aware of its power, aware of its of your weakness by nature, but nevertheless all that realization, that understanding, brings you to call and depend on the name of the Lord. Here is faith's hope in God, in his name. It understands that God's ways are higher than our ways. It never moved from the fundamental issue of God's honor. It goes forward serving under Jesus Christ, the commander of the Lord's army, understanding that the battle is the Lord's. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And when we understand, like David, that the chief issue in our battle against our Goliaths is God's honor, you can be sure of a blessed outcome. Faith always has the fruit of works. Here David understood that while the battle was with the Lord, God intended him to do battle with Goliath. God was going to work through David. And so David placed into God's hands the very talent that God had given him, slinging a stone. Now, yesterday afternoon I observed boys playing football. They just had a ball. Played for a couple of hours. No problem. Didn't have to give them much else to do. They were honing their skills. And this is how you do. You have an interest in your life as you grow up as a young person. Well, David had an interest. Yes, it served him well in his calling as a shepherd, but I expect for many hours while David was looking after the sheep and perhaps a little bit bored, he would practice slinging a stone. He didn't suddenly say, I'll use this sling and in a presumptuous way say, well, that's the one way I'm going to kill Goliath, so I'll just pick this sling up and have a go with it and see if it works. No, David was an expert. David had practiced and practiced and practiced. But David ultimately knew that the success, the accuracy, the outcome depended upon the help of the Lord in this battle. And faith understands that God is pleased to bring about his will through faith and the works of believers. It's faith and works. David's God-given faith, it talked in the camp. It talked to the king. But it also walked. He walked it out. Just like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. He spoke about love. He spoke to people about love. And that God is love. and he walked it out. He went to Calvary. He talked and he walked and he worked. And that's what David did. His faith talked about God. His faith walked with God. And his faith worked for God. And he used the talents that God has given him for God's all glory and honor. And friends, God has given gifts to his people. Every member of the church has a gift. God's given you a gift. You may think your gift is a very lowly gift, but it's a gift. It's a talent God's given to you. And you have to use it by faith. And you have to do it for the honor of the Lord. Well, faith is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. Faith resists opposition. Faith encourages. Faith remembers God's dealings in the past. Faith goes forward conscious of its dependence upon the Lord. Faith always has the fruit of works. Well, if you are facing a Goliath this evening, be of good courage. Give the battle by faith into the Lord's hands. This is where it belongs. Be humble. Remember, our victory is only with God's help. Be careful of those hindrances in the battle, those people that despise you. Be careful. Don't be distracted by them. Press on. Don't be surprised to be despised. But go forward in the name of the Lord. And think of the pebbles in David's bag like the word of God. David had to go and search for those pebbles. They had to be appropriate pebbles. They had to be the right size and shape. And we need to go to the spiritual brook of the word of God. And we need some appropriate pebbles to slay our Goliath from the spiritual brook of God's word. And David went to face Goliath, knowing he had 5 pebbles in his bag. He got them personally. And this can be a picture to help us. The word of God used by faith is the greatest enemy weapon against the enemy. Our greatest enemy, our greatest Goliath actually, is sin and death and hell. But we can slay this Goliath through the promises of God in Jesus Christ the Lord. And as we take those appropriate stones, those appropriate promises, and we lay hold of them by faith, it has the effect of slaying the giant, the Goliath of unbelief. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were reminded yesterday evening of the awesomeness of eternity. And our brother spoke to the children, some of them very small. You have a soul. You are facing eternity. It wasn't a very politically correct message, but it was a right message. It was a true message. It was a message from the word of God. And it's a message we need to hear, because we're all facing eternity. And the wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we need to take this appropriate promise by faith and go to war with the enemy of souls. And Paul said in Corinthians, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, friends, there's so many promises. Brother Peter said, there's 366, I think, fear nots in the word of God. Well, let us use the word of God. Let us exercise ourselves into the word of God. And then we can use the word of God against the Goliaths in our life. Let's turn to our hymn books. We sing number 869.